Hour number two of the Ron Smith Show gets underway, and I am he. Is that correct grammatically, Ryan? My producer's an Ivy League grad, which is, you know, I forgive him that, but nonetheless. I am he is correct, isn't it? Huh? Okay, good. Could you turn the music down? Thank you. See, he may be Ivy League, but you got to give him basic instructions. Addison Wiggin is with us, executive publisher of Agora Publishing.
Agora Financial, yes.
Agora Financial, which is Baltimore-based. And also with the Daily Reckoning, which is a newsletter that I subscribe to. It's free, so I like it.
I hope that's not the only reason
and,
you like it.
And co-author with Bill Bonner of how many books?
Two books. Financial Reckoning Day and Empire of Debt.
Empire of Debt. And I asked you when you came in, and he's been here before in case you don't know, I asked you whether there was a resurgence of interest in these books because they were, shall we say, on the trail of what was going on relatively early. And you said, yes, there's either reviewers now reviewing Empire of Debt, which has been out how long?
Well, we first published it in 2005,
mm-hmm.
so it was even before the, you know, the housing bubble took over the news. The housing was still going up,
mm-hmm.
and in the book we were forecasting that that was the most likely spot that the, you know, the cracks,
the weakness.
Would, yeah, the weakness in the economy would show. But when the bubble's rising, most people don't, you know, they don't want to hear any kind of bad news.
Of course not.
So even though we were identifying trends that were in the economy that were likely to lead to trouble, we didn't get a lot of, the book actually made it onto the New York Times bestseller list, but we didn't get a lot of reviewers, we didn't get a lot of mainstream mm-hmm. attention. And recently, in 2011, a lot of people had been reviewing the book independently. We did put out an updated edition in 2009, but mm-hmm. most of the reviews I've seen are of the 2005 edition.
Mm-hmm.
What I liken it to is people buy the book and they're like, this is the one I want to read, and they put it on their bedstand, and then it stays there for 5 years, 6 years, and then events turn, and then they're like, hey, maybe I should read that one. So,
well, as you well know, the difficulty is timing.
Absolutely.
You can be totally right on fundamentals.
Yeah.
But what I learned over a couple decades and more is that the power of the status quo is quite immense. And they can keep the plates spinning on those sticks for a long, long time.
Right, and what we've seen, too, repeatedly, is the news cycle sort of generates opinions. People mm-hmm. change the way that they view the world to accommodate what's happening in the news. And right now we're in a cycle where a lot of people are worried about the economy, they're worried about the United States' stature in the world, they're worried about a lot of things that they weren't asking. You know, when the bubble was rising, people weren't asking those kinds of questions. Now they're starting to wonder what's going on.
It's a chicken and egg thing.
Yeah.
Markets depend on confidence, but confidence depends on circumstances. So it's, you know, you can either accelerate tremendously or you can spiral downward very rapidly. It's like a school of fish turning.
Right, and we got the first, you know, the first big wave of sell-offs in 2008 was a big shock. There were a lot of things going on Wall Street and in the economy that came as a surprise to people. The hinky accounting that was going on in mm-hmm. a lot of Wall Street banks and the innovations that were being marketed as ways for retirees to gain new income turned out to just be vapor.
And the only ones who really got it were some Austrian school economists. And that's not even acknowledged as a legitimate school of economy by the Keynesians. In fact, Krugman called it the so-called Austrian school
that's right.
of economics.
Yeah,
and, a handful of people got it right, but nobody paid attention to them because there's much money to be made. Let's face it, that's what happens in a boom, is there's so much money to be made that even if you know that it's not going to end happily, you also know that if you act boldly and swiftly, you can make a lot of money before someone else is left holding the bag.
Right, and we saw that across the board in the economy. People mm-hmm. knew there was something wrong. They were aware that the jig would end at some point, but they were just trying to get their piece out.
Yeah, indeed.
And I think that that's the parallel right now is that's what's happening in Washington. We just saw that with the debt crisis. People know the jig is up in Washington, too, but three, 6 weeks of debate. People are just trying to get what they can out of the deal before it falls apart.
And of course, politics is great. The president's out on this bus tour, right? And it's not a political thing. Okay?
Right.
It's
right.
Something else. It's so he can listen to people. But of course, politicians stay as far away as they can from people unless they're campaigning. So it's definitely a campaign thing. And, he's blaming the intransigence of the Republicans. Doesn't it take two sides to be intransigent?
It does.
I mean, are the Republicans any more intransigent than the Democrats? The answer to me is no. And in fact, if it weren't for the Tea Party, they would have already capitulated to the Democrats, as they commonly do. So who's intransigent? I mean, the fact is that you have sentiment rising in this country saying, wait a minute, we can't continue on the same path. And this is something that I think, I'm guessing, I think will be an intensified thing over the months and years ahead, not a diminishing thing. People are saying, oh, the Tea Party is going to go away. Well, but that sentiment is grassroots up, and it's based on reality. I don't see it going away. I see it intensifying. What about you?
Yeah, I don't see it going away. One of my favorite quotes, sound bites from yesterday's bus tour that the president was on, he was berating the crowd, saying, don't give up. We can win. We can get the things that we're asking for. And presumably he was arguing against whatever position the Republicans had taken.
Yeah.
But what else does he want? Already 40%, 48% of the country gets more back from the government than they put in. I mean, they're already breaking the system with transfer of payments and all kinds of things. And that's where that Tea Party sentiment comes from, is that people are like, what else can we do? The thing is broken.
It's like Warren Buffett was on last night, after getting all this publicity with his op-ed piece saying, you're too easy on people like me. I like Pat Buchanan's response. Why don't you cut the U.S. government a check for $5 billion, then Oracle of Omaha? But
right.
That's not what it's all about. He was on with Charlie Rose for an hour, and he was saying that, look, we've come through worse bumps than this, and that, it's going to be restored. The system as it exists is going to be restored, more or less, is what he was saying. I don't see how that's really possible. What he said is true, but what the world's going through right now is not a normal cyclical business recession. It's an unwinding of the greatest credit expansion in history. So realistically speaking, we must anticipate the biggest unwinding of credit in history, mustn't we?
We do. Things that go up generally come back down. And that's what the Austrians, you brought up the Austrian mm-hmm. school, that's what they analyzed, the rise and in the injection of credit and easy money into the economy. And as the economy grows, people, as we were talking about at the beginning of the show, people accommodate their worldview to what's happening around mm-hmm. them. So they forget.
It's different this time.
Right. They forget that it's an injection of easy credit into the system.
It's always.
Most people don't even know that that's how a bubble gets started, that people that it's much easier to borrow money to buy things that they may or may not need, and it's much easier to continue to speculate with that money.
But
how stock markets go up. That's how housing markets go up.
And the thing is, Addison Wiggin, you can't really restore, in my view, under the circumstances, you can't restore what was driving the world economy for a couple of decades, which is the American consumer's willingness to assume tremendous debt.